This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman. This show is dedicated to providing today's modern women with useful information they need to make empowered, conscious choices.
Guys are afraid to express sometimes because that shows the weakness of their gender role. You know, if we feel and we're not in control of our emotions, then that shows that we can't really provide and protect. And so a lot of guys are afraid to open up and go in for porn because of that. My mom told me this, and one of the millionaire business owners that I met told me the same thing, and that is, you can tell the merit of someone's true character by how they treat people they feel are lesser than them.
Today on the show, we're talking about social dynamics, the art of connecting with people. We're continuing a series of four interviews with expert coaches from the art of charm. Our guest today is Josh Pellissier, expert coach on rapport. Josh, welcome to Just for Women.
Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. You guys are the most passionate, vibrant people I've met talking about this information. So I really appreciate you being here.
Well, you know, it's our life. It's not just what we do. If you get to pick something that you're going to be passionate about, you may as well do it for the rest of your life, you know?
Exactly. Isn't that great that we live in a country and a society where that's actually possible?
I can't believe it. I mean, I grew up really, really poor, and to have this opportunity now to live in New York City and to be in Manhattan and to do something that I love to do. I mean, my dad's still doing construction, you know? It's a really amazing thing for me.
Thank you for that bit of vulnerability. I feel my heart opening.
Oh, that's going to happen a lot. That's the master of rapport part.
Yay! Okay, so let me tell the audience a little bit about you. Josh Pellissier is one of the lead instructors for The Art of Charm and the host, well, co-host, right, of the Sirius satellite radio show, Game On. He's also one of the hosts of the popular podcast show, right, Pickup Podcast? And recently, he was featured on the Today Show and the New York Daily News talking about what works when relating with women. So I'm so happy to have you here.
Yeah, it's great. Actually, last night we were spoofed on Saturday Night Live, too.
What do you mean last night? Like a rerun?
No, last night they have the presidential thing going on.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, and so they did the weekend update and they put us on the weekend update. It was ridiculous.
What did they say? We got to see.
I mean, they just talked about how we had a school, and then they talked about like one of the programs that we had, and then the line they used in it was because if anybody is knee deep in tail, it's the teacher at the learning annex. It's the guy who teaches at the learning annex. It's making fun of us. It was really funny. I thought it was great, and it was like, you know, 20 seconds of being on Saturday Night Live is pretty amazing.
Well, you know, they say, what is that? When they imitate you, that's the best form of flattery. So
yeah. Hey, I think it's great. I thought it was fantastic. Actually, the guy who did it, his name's Seth Meyers, and I met him at a bar here in New York once. He sat down at my table, and we had drinks for a couple hours, me and him and then another girl from Saturday Night Live. And it was great, and we had really great interaction. It was fun. And he was a really funny in person, really nice guy. And I really don't even think he knows that I own the company he was talking about, which is pretty funny. I don't know. I sent him an email afterwards thanking him because, I mean, it's the best publicity ever. And we just got stuck in there like that. But you know, I think he did it by accident, to be honest.
Well, you're the serendipity guy. So let's get into talking about this rapport and, you know, the art of rapport and what happened with Seth, whether or not it was accidental or not. I like to think there are no accidents, but we'll soon find out. So today we're going to talk with you about rapport, what it is and why we need to know about it, what it's like to be a teacher for the art of charm, and what you teach men and women about effectively managing a relationship, love, and sex. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten into sex yet, so Josh, I'm hoping we can go there with you.
You know, I just met you. Maybe if we get to know each other a little bit better.
But you have a girlfriend.
I do. But I'll talk about it at least.
Okay, good. That's all we want.
You know, sex is one of, sexual attraction is one of three components that makes up consummate or true love. It is really important. It's just, you know, it's funny to give coaching on sex for somebody because it's such a self-expression. I feel like it's kind of like giving, you know, painting instruction. Which I guess there are different techniques that people want to learn how to do for painting, too. I just think that you get into the bedroom and you have no influence. Whatever you do is just kind of who you are. That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. So what are the other pieces? You said sexual attraction is a part of true love. What were the other ones?
Yeah, there's a consummate love triangle that was developed by psychologists, actually, I think in the late 60s. And it got kind of confused. And so I had to rewrite it so it made sense. And then I went from there to form on a lot of my stuff that I developed was formed off of either existing psychology that was just incomplete or, you know, different kinds of sales ideas and things like that as well, pulling from all these different areas and the modern gentleman areas and things like that. But the other two parts of that consummate love triangle are emotional attraction and logical attraction. And logical attraction essentially is logistical issues, like, you know, living in the same place and working at the same hours or having off the same hours. Also, having your life direction going the same way is really, really important as well. So these are like, or religion can be a really big issue. So logical attraction essentially is the X factor or the timing that really screws up most relationships. Mm-hmm. And then emotional attraction is rapport, which is what we're going to get into today. And you can create that. You can't really create logical attraction in the moment. You can't like make your logistics work out now, but you can set your life up so you live a lifestyle that invites more opportunity in the future, and that kind of handles your logical attraction.
Got it. So what do we need to know? What is rapport? I mean, it's two people having a conversation. That's dialogue. So where does mm-hmm. rapport come in?
Rapport is, of course, kind of fascinating because, in a way, it's exactly why we communicate in the first place. It's not a, you know, when we start talking to people, it isn't like we really want to get data across. It's we are trying to express emotions and trying to express trust to each other. And rapport essentially is, you know, direct transfer of emotion from one person to the other.
Okay, so it is about emotions. And, you know, I've heard from my research that what most, I don't know, I guess you'd say pickup artists are trying to do is create this emotional connection with a woman because that then leads to sexual activity. So what's going on with you guys?
Well, in order to have trust with somebody, I think it is really important that you build that emotional connection. The only problem with, I think a lot of pickup artists do is they try to fake the emotional connection. And that can be a really big problem. And the reason why it's such a huge issue is because, A, whenever you build this emotional connection with someone, you are showing them who you really are. And people become very endeared to who that person is. And if it's not really you, then people fall in love with someone who's not even you, which it does happen. Women and men both do this. And it's a two-way street. Another big problem with that for, I think, a lot of pickup artists is that they, for faking rapport at least, is that they don't feel it at the same time. So they'll have a girl who's really invested in them, or even a friend that's really invested in them, and then they have no investment. So it's easy for them to cross the line emotionally and really hurt people. And so I think that in order to understand and act on an emotional level, you have to understand how it works in the first place and how emotional transfer works. There's a fine line between teaching someone, you know, you don't want to give a little kid a handgun. It just gets scary, but everyone should know at least how rapport works so that they can plug themselves in and know how to make an emotional connection when it is necessary and know when to steer away from that.
Okay, well, this is getting good. So how do we know when an emotional transfer is happening, and how do we know, let's steer out of here?
Well, there are a lot of different, indicators that you should steer away. One is there's something called congruence, and congruence is the idea that your body language And what your body language is saying is the same as what your mouth is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is essentially what creates a lot of confidence. Insecurity, you can tell someone's insecurity because their body language and their verbal language or tonality don't match. And so when there's an incongruence, you can tell they have an insecurity. Typically, people will try to fake and hide insecurities, and that's what makes them ugly. You know, we know that people have insecurities. Everyone has them. But a confident person shows and is open to having insecurities and works on them every day. And someone who is really ugly, essentially, or you know, who is labeled as insecure, is someone who tries to hide those. And so you have to be able to pick up on whether or not rapport is real. If it's real and everything is matching, then you won't have to worry about, you know, you'll be able to open up completely to somebody. But a lot of women fall into this trap that guys, you know, women want to make connections so badly with men. And they just want it. It's something that separates them from every other guy and makes the woman feel special, you know, making this connection. So some guys will pick up on this and they'll fake the rapport and get women involved. And then, you know, the guys don't really like them that much.
Interesting that how you perceive it is that women want to connect so badly, because most of what I'm hearing is that women have these guys call them bitch shields and this ice queen stuff, you know, and it's like I hear that and I'm just like, oh my God.
Well, I mean, I don't doubt that we all have shields up socially. I think that whenever we don't know somebody, it's important that we protect ourselves. And you know, I think the major difference and the reason why men and women don't really understand each other that well is because we don't really get what each other's gender role really means.
Mm-hmm.
So the female gender role typically was supposed to be the nurturer. You know, and in the past it was, you know, traditionally a long time ago, it was physically nurturing, mostly like raising children and things like that. It's not like that anymore. Now it's, you know, emotionally nurturing. It's empathy that makes a woman attractive. That's her gender role, to be able to feel what you feel and feel what everyone feels and then make people feel comfortable, you know, get into people's heads and get into guys' heads and make them feel desired, to make them feel comfortable and happy and protected and everything, just as a man, you know, as a friend and as a lover as well. And so a lot of women obviously want to feel like they can do this, but the weakness of that gender role, the weakness of the nurturer role, is that women typically tend to feel often and then get taken advantage of when they shouldn't be feeling for somebody. So they'll have empathy for somebody that is kind of a negative person or somebody who they don't see that this person's bad for them, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And they open up to them, and then this person takes advantage of them. And this can happen over and over and over again in relationships, especially for women. And typically it turns a lot of women away from guys in general, makes them put up, you know, what people call bitch shields, which, I mean, it's kind of just like an ignorant way of saying, yeah, they're not opening up to you.
Right. And so there's work on both parts, I'm hearing from what you're saying, is for women to not get overly emotional and into men before they actually really know them, even though they have this desire to connect so badly, and to actually be selective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so being selective for women is huge, definitely.
So let's talk about that for a minute. How do you support women in being selective and not, you know, because what you're saying is the power that a woman has is to provide this empathy and nurturing mm-hmm. and desire for a man, even though she might be bringing home all the money. I mean, mm-hmm. like you said, these roles have definitely changed,
mm-hmm.
but to be selective about this guy and to really know when she is pouring that energy into this person, that it's actually really going to be reciprocated. So what are some telltale signs?
Well, ultimately, if there's one thing that women can do just in general to help them be more selective in the right kind of way, I think that women are very selective. I just think that they're being selective for the wrong things right now.
Okay.
Like, there's so many options of men that are just weak. And so women are starting to get this mentality of, you know, the lesser of two evils kind of idea.
Right.
Like, well, he's not horrible. He's not a complete wuss, you know.
They're settling.
And he's not a complete jerk. And so, cool, you know, but that's not what makes up – that's not making you a selective woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, what are you really trying to look for? And each woman should really ask themselves this. This is a really important question because it helps you select. I think that what women typically have been focusing on was signs of confidence and not actual confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And so guys can fake signs of confidence, in case you hadn't already noticed. I mean, a lot of guys can fake this. And so what you should be looking for, a complete telltale sign of an actually attractive man is his desire to grow and become better. Like, if you see this in a man, this is really a confident man. If he grows and isn't, like, stubbornness, guys who are super stubborn on personal issues and who won't, I guess, they won't look at themselves with a critical eye and try to improve themselves daily, you should really steer away from. Because typically those are guys who are depreciating assets. I mean, they're not getting any more valuable every day. They're not. I mean, and a lot of guys are like this. And women should really test for these ideas in the beginning instead of, you know, testing for confidence, or what seems to be confidence, because guys are learning how to fake that.
I know. It's amazing, isn't it? Okay, I really appreciate this information. So acts of confidence, like literal acts of confidence, and his desire to grow, because I think that's why women are getting so pissed off. It's like with this pickup stuff, and, you know, it's like women want to connect and have sex, men want to connect and have sex, and then there's all this weird stuff getting in the way. It's like, why do they have to act that way? And, you know, it's a whole big story. There's approach anxiety, there's this, but what you're saying is just slow down and really look at the guy. You know?
Well, you know, it's not just looking at the guy either. Everyone needs education. I mean, you think about this. 60% of communication is body language, which is actually a pretty conservative estimate. I've seen the numbers higher than that, but it's 60% of communication is body language, and 20% is tonality. And the only conscious amount, the last 20%, is what they're saying. Why are so many people being fooled by what people are saying now?
Right, right.
That doesn't make any sense. It's what's happening is women are now, and guys too, are taking this 20% and just overriding everything else with it. I think that ultimately body language is that plays such a huge part. It's an unconscious thing. I mean, a lot of people don't recognize and don't have body language brought to a conscious level. And so whenever women see a guy, you know, if something lives in your unconscious mind, it's provoked by an emotion instead of you actually thinking about it consciously. So if you recognize body language, which you do, you recognize patterns in body language very quickly, especially women are very, very quick at this. Your unconscious mind is so much more powerful at recognizing patterns than your conscious mind is. And so women are recognizing this unconscious body language movements, but they don't know why they don't like it. So instead of going, this guy's leaning in right now, he's acting needy, with his body language, he's facing me completely, and then his mouth, like he's saying, like he doesn't need me, but
yeah,
he's acting
exactly
like he does. And then that is, instead of saying, like, you know, breaking it down so you can actually realize why this is happening, a lot of people don't see that, and so that all they do is they go, he seems creepy.
Well, it's interesting. I'll make one point, and then we've got to take a break, but Kim will resonate with this because she's reading a book called Power Versus Force, which I have read, and Jordan won't like because he doesn't like all the metaphysical stuff. But what the book said is that we know, our bodies know whether we like or dislike something, and we don't even have to see it. And they did this whole test where they had these, you know, really nice pictures and really awful pictures in an envelope, and they did this muscle testing, and the body knew just from like the energy in the envelope what it liked and didn't like. So, you know, let's figure that into it now. All right, so we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. And listeners, please check out these ads and sponsors. They're ads created by my sponsors for my show, and they help me bring these great experts to Just for Women. So if you can support them, I would greatly appreciate it. This is Elisa Kreitman. I'm with Josh Pellissier, and we'll be right back to talk more about what we need to know about connecting with the opposite sex.
Listen to Coaching the Life Coach, Business and Marketing Strategies for Growth of Transformational Practices with Jason McLean, your guide in the 21st century marketplace on personallifemedia.com.
We're back. I'm Elisa Kreitman, and we're speaking with Josh Pellissier, one of the expert coaches of the Art of Charm. Before the break, we were talking about what's important for a woman in choosing a man and how being selective is so important, and what are the keys to being selective. All fascinating information. And so now, Josh, I want to talk to you a little bit about what it's like to be a teacher for the art of charm. I mean, what's going on with this? You know, Benjamin talked a little bit about it. You've got a whole variety of programs for men, from, you know, a very simple ebook to a live-in week-long immersion in this work. So from your perspective, what's going on here?
Well, you know, I moved up here with Johnny and Jordan to start the company. And when I moved up here, I didn't have anything. When we moved up here, I was sleeping on a pile of my dirty clothes and I was eating ramen noodles. I didn't have anything in New York. I didn't know anybody, didn't have any money. We just had enough money barely to pay for the following month's rent. And then that's it. But we came up here on the skill set that we had and that we could teach, knowing that this would all work out. And you know, we went through a lot of rough times, but we constantly focused 100% of our energy toward making this company better and making our curriculum better and really searching for results for people. And our goal essentially is that we have every client that comes out say they had a life-changing experience. And it's happened. It's more effective than I've ever seen in anything else. And the guys have come in. I coach people, all sorts of people. I've coached Olympic athletes. I've coached high up executives. I've coached you know, young guys who are, you know, 16 years old to guys who are 63 years old. And we have coaches and classes for women as well that are phenomenal. Top by Kim, like you're saying, Kimberly Ellington, who's in my opinion, one of the best female dating coaches in the world. I mean, I've never met anybody like her. And our team and our mentality with business and everything is just so spot on. It's just so positive, you know? And it takes that. If you're going to do something every day for the rest of your life, it should make you happy, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's why, you know, that's why this company is such an amazing company. I really think the major difference between us and every other company that even comes close to us is that we practice what we preach.
Yeah, I think that's so important that you actually live what you're teaching. And I think that's the telltale sign when people are out there, because there's so many courses you could take, that the people are actually living from that this is a true, and it sounds like you've all left other careers and things to come and do this and promote this in the world. So,
yeah, you know, I'm not sure if I'd call it a career. I left, really. I mean, I was a bar manager at a bar, but that wasn't really a career.
That's a career. That is a valid career.
I don't know. This is my fifth business, though. I have owned other businesses in the past, and I definitely think that I hold true to the idea that relationships and businesses and decisions, just kind of in life in general, that a good relationship isn't found. You don't just find one. You have to build it out of spare parts from lesser relationships.
I was just thinking that, you know, what you were talking about, there's a lot of this idea about value and perceived value, and you guys are really dispelling a lot of this, I don't know, I guess I'll say pickup stuff. There's no other term for it, really, that I've been...
Unfortunately.
Yeah, reading about. But you guys are saying, no, we as men should give value. And it's a whole different paradigm. And so in this day and age, what makes a man have value?
Well, you know, like I said, the gender roles have changed a lot for women and men. And traditionally, the gender role for a man was his value, was that he could provide and protect physically. Like he was, you know, he's a good hunter. And he was very big or strong. He could protect, you know. But that's changed, obviously. A lot of men who are much smaller now are seemingly more attractive to women. And that doesn't make any sense for a provider-protector mentality from the traditional sense. And what's happened is society's come in and changed everything for gender roles. So now instead of being a provider-protector physically, it's a social provider and a social protector that brings value to men. So that's what women really are attracted to, qualities of social providing and socially protecting. And value essentially is one of the ways that we demonstrate that we have qualities like this. We make other people essentially happy just to be around us. And, you know, I think and my mom told me this too. And actually, it's funny because my mom told me this. And one of the millionaire business owners that I met told me the same thing. And that is, you can tell the merit of someone's true character by how they treat people they feel are lesser than them. And so, like, that hired help is one of those things, you know, like people in restaurants and things. I think a lot of, like, mothers tell their daughters, too, you can tell how a guy's going to treat you after he sleeps with you.
Right.
By how he treats the servers and the hired help.
Sure.
You know, and that's true. I mean, a guy, it's not that a guy wants to be mean, that he feels like he's inadequate and that he feels insecure and then if other people step all over them, then he's going to have no value whatsoever. But the value of actually being just a powerful, confident man is the most pure value you can have. And a lot of guys don't know how to express that. And so it's just a confusion, really. It's just a misunderstanding, and it's the biggest misunderstanding in history, in my personal opinion.
Right. Wow. And I'm glad that you guys are doing the work to sort of unearth that and put men on a different path. And, you know, you guys have talked a lot about this modern gentleman. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I have, it's funny because I read a book called The Modern Gentleman. And this is kind of how I started studying this in the first place before. I mean, I studied Zen in the very beginning, to be completely honest, Zen Buddhism. And that's really how I started breaking stuff down socially, which sounds a little bit strange, but it's really what happened. I was studying Kung Fu and studying Zen full-time working at a gas station when I first started this.
There's another book about that, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. So I was studying that, and then I read a book eventually called The Modern Gentleman that I thought was about etiquette, but wasn't about etiquette. It was about social dynamics mostly, and essentially gave me exactly what I needed at that moment to really take my life to the next step. And I wasn't ready for a why things happen guide yet. I kind of wanted a how to, and so I started following these ideas, and I ended up writing the author an email, one of the authors an email, and then we started corresponding via email, and then eventually met up with them, and then they asked me to be a part of writing the third version of the book, and I started researching as much as I possibly could so I could make that happen, and I was completely changed by the book. The book's called The Modern Gentleman, and it was basically a book that was trying to teach me how to be this charismatic, savoir-faire, kind of savvy and vice-learned, I guess, kind of man. And at the time, I was ready to take some kind of step in that direction. But like I said, a lot of, especially guys, I mean, we don't have anyone to teach us this stuff. I had to learn this. I mean, they don't teach it in school. Your older brother doesn't know. You know,
right.
My dad has no clue. He got married when he was 18. You know. I mean, he doesn't know. And a lot of our parents, especially in the baby boom kind of time when there's so many kids, so many parents now, and so many single parents, people are just jumping all over the place. They got married early because they're scared, and they don't know about social interaction. They just kind of got lucky.
Right.
And my family and my parents have been happily married since they were young, and they live in a log cabin, you know, in North Florida, and they're just happy and live near a farm and everything. And that's what they want to be. And that's fantastic. So I think that a lot of people don't realize that guys don't have this information. And so we have to learn somewhere, and we're the people who have to teach it. The Modern Gentleman, like I said, is just a catalyst, really. It's just a way to get in to people's heads that they'll accept this is actually something that they really need and want.
Well, I definitely have to read that book. That sounds like must-have reading. So when you know, some of the complaints women have about men is that they're needy, they come on too strong. What do you teach a man specifically about how not to come off needy?
Well, neediness is the number one killer of attraction, that's for sure. And you need to have curiosity in the beginning. What neediness does for women is it makes them not want to chase a guy. You know, and that's scary for a woman because now she has all these choices, but she doesn't want me. And so, you know, for guys, essentially what we have to do is we have to learn how to use our expression and our body language to say the same thing that we want to say. I mean, a lot of guys get wrapped up in thinking that they are inadequate, that they don't have any options, that they're scared. And this comes across in their body language, and women pick up on it. It's scary for women, too. So what we want to do is we don't want to have guys fake their body language. But we do want to get to the core and fix what's making them scared in the first place. And so a lot of guys, I think, are, for the most part, guys don't even realize they do this because so many other guys do it, and women accept it because there's no other choice right now. You know, I think that a lot of guys see this and they think it's what they should be doing. So they lean in too much in your personal space when they talk to you in the beginning, or they start buying you drinks, or which is nice sometimes. But, you know, and also like spacing you completely and talking to you too much and thinking about you all the time when they first meet you. And they come across as super needy, and it just squashes the attraction completely. So what happens is guys need to think and understand that they are worth something. And I think a lot of women don't realize that guys really feel like women are worth everything and guys have to win them over. Like, they don't want them. And that is, as you know, that's not true on your end. And women think the same thing about men. They're like, well, you know, how do I get this guy to like me? How do I show this guy that I like him? It's just, it's such a twisted miscommunication between men and women. So the first step is understanding what women are saying and what we're saying as men. And that clears up most of the problems, to be completely honest.
Yeah, you know, I just took a course recently with Alison Armstrong called Men and Sex. And one of the interesting things, just like you were saying, how there's this miscommunication or misunderstanding between men and women, and the course leader was saying that how men hold sex with women, or how they hold women, is that we have all the power. You know, we are going to say yes or we are going to say no. And it's their job to, you know, be the chosen one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why, you know, guys get a little bit overzealous and want to get in there and, you know, all of that stuff. But I don't think women really realize that guys are actually holding it that way and why that neediness stuff is coming off that way. You know, it looks like, oh, this guy thinks that he's overconfident or something like that. But really, you know, it's a twist in the dynamic that women can really sort of settle into, that they actually have the power, not to be abused or anything like that, but how men relate to women is that we have the power.
Yeah, I think that a really important thing to say, though, is that where there's power, there will be abuse. I mean, that's just how it is. It's not, you know, you obviously want to keep it to a minimum. You don't want to abuse the power. You know, you don't want to hurt people in the process of your learning. But in order to know the boundaries of power, men and women both tend to abuse it. And, you know, it's, like I said, it's a sad thing, but it's almost no way around it. You know, you have to learn how to calibrate everything. And once a woman knows that she has most of the power, typically she will, you know, it depends on who it is, essentially. If a woman's really confident, she won't abuse it. But if she's not confident at all, then typically they do. That's why a lot of younger women who develop early, who are very beautiful early on and have a lot of people telling them they're very beautiful, end up abusing that power sometimes.
Right, which is really totally not confidence at all. It's actually
No. A
lot of insecurity, which is why abusive power happens. All right, we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, I want to talk more about this. This is really interesting stuff. So we're going to take a short break to support our sponsors. Again, these are my sponsors kicking down some great deals for everybody, so I'd really appreciate it if you support them. They support me. And listeners, feel free to send me an email at Alisa, A-L-I-S-S-A, at personallifemedia.com. Or you can give me a message, leave a message at this phone number, 206-350-5333. I'd love to hear your feedback, comments, questions. This is Alisa Kreitman. I'm speaking with Josh Pellissier from The Art of Charm, and we'll be right back.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
We're back. I'm Alisa Kreitman. We're talking with Josh Pellissier, expert coach with The Art of Charm. And really, you know, again, I just have to say, you guys are very, very on top of your game, so to speak. Very knowledgeable. And I really appreciate the depth of where we can go in these interviews. So I just want to give some props to you guys at The Art of Charm. You really know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I've been quoting this a lot today. I don't know why, but of all people, Donald Trump's father said something that changed Donald Trump's life, and he said that know everything there is to know about what you're doing.
Mm.
And I think that if you're going to be interacting with people, and eventually if you hope to be married and happy for the rest of your life raising children, you should know everything there is to know about anything there is to know about that. Everything and anything there is to know. It's worth your time because it's when you're going to spend the rest of your life with this person. So it's the biggest investment of your life.
It's so funny. That's true, because we think love is just going to happen. Relationship is just going to happen. And we've realized with the divorce rate the way that it is that that's not actually the case. And so...
Yeah, I hope to fix that. That's one of my main goals is to lower that rate. I think it's unfair for the kids, to be completely honest.
Absolutely. Kim and I were talking about that on our interview. So what do you have to offer people about relationship management? What are some keys? What do we need to know?
Well, first, for women, this is going to be a really interesting conversation, actually. For women, you don't really need to know that much about it. I mean, I know you need to know how to make a man feel like a man, but if you want the guy to lead, your man to lead your relationship, then he has to have a lot of information that he probably doesn't have. Like I said, most of the problems really aren't with the women. I mean, most of the problems spawn with the guys overcompensating or trying different things and it not working out. But at the same time, you know, it's a mentality that guys are going to have to step up and lead now. In a position where for the past 20 years or so, it's been kind of scary to lead as a man. And so ultimately, the number one thing for women to know that'll help out immediately for relationship management is to know how to make a man feel like a man. And this will set you apart. Like, I'll tell you right now, I have a girlfriend. Her name's Tatiana. She's great. And I'm dating her exclusively. And before I started dating her, I was dating all sorts of women. But I broke up with everyone I was dating then, which I was polyamorous before, so everyone knew about each other then. But I broke up with all my girlfriends then and started dating Tatiana exclusively. And I'll tell you the two reasons why I started dating her exclusively. It wasn't because she is gorgeous, definitely. I mean, I have to say that for sure. But that was just luck on my end. The two things that really made her stick with me, because I've been with gorgeous women before. It doesn't really matter that much. Was A, her drive and desire to grow as a woman. That was really sexy to me. That really set her apart from all the rest of the girls that I was dating. And, you know, that she would take in my what I had to say, my opinions even, and then think about it. And if it was something that was valid, she'd change what she was doing, you know, for her own self. But she would improve herself every day. Like I said, she's an appreciating asset, essentially, you know, and just like I do with myself as well. That was one. But the other one was that she really knew how to make me feel like a man, like all the time. And she would say one little thing, and it would just make me feel like it didn't matter what anyone else thought of me in the entire world.
Well, what was she speaking to? Like, we want details here.
Yeah, sure, of course. And I think the major thing was that, like I said, she was speaking to my drive to be a provider protector. You know, I mean, I'm a small guy. I mean, I'm not super tiny, but I'm small, really thin. Probably I weigh like 145. Not that big. I'm about 5'9" or 5'10". So yeah, I'm not that huge. But she'll call me like her big strong man.
Mm.
You know, and like that little thing really it makes me feel like I don't need any other woman.
Well, it's like you're her hero, and would you say that?
Yeah, well, she would say that too, for sure. She's like, she says always she's my biggest fan, and she just has an enormous amount of respect for me. And because she has an enormous amount of respect for me, and I have an enormous amount of respect for myself, it's easy for me to have an enormous amount of respect for her.
Right.
You know, if as a woman, if you're giving a man a lot of respect, and he's not giving it back to you, it's because he doesn't respect himself. And that's why, not because he doesn't like you. So typically you have to work on it. Like I said, you don't find a good relationship, like a perfect relationship. You have to build it. And so you're not going to meet the perfect guy. You're going to meet a guy with a shit ton of potential. Excuse my language.
And, I love it. I always say that.
And, you know, and you'll be able to cultivate it or you won't. And that's what women should really be looking for, is potential.
All right. Let's talk about an example. This is really good stuff. Thank you for diving down in here. So if a woman is in a relationship with a man, her husband, say, and she finds herself not respecting him, what does she do?
Well, if you find yourself not respecting your husband, typically it's a matter of a switching of gender roles. And what'll happen is sometimes you'll meet a guy and he's playing into his gender role like normal. He'll be a provider, protector, and it's a very attractive quality. And then eventually in a relationship, sometimes guys and girls tend to switch roles. So at some point you may find out that you're playing the provider, protector role and he's playing this nurturing role. And whenever a guy plays a nurturing role, the woman has to protect and provide out of default. Now, whenever this happens, that means that women don't feel like women, right? You feel like you're doing the man's job, and that's not what you want to do typically. Typically, you want to do your job. You want to be women. You want to be powerful women. You know, guys took equality as being the same, and that was a big screw-up. You know, it was a big misunderstanding. It's not that women want to be the same. They just want to be equal. And so that was a big problem. Guys didn't see that. They thought that equality meant that they had to be nurturers and women had to be provider protectors. So sometimes in a relationship, it'll switch. And whenever that happens, women typically get very unhappy because they're doing all the providing and protecting. And then they tend to lose respect for the man that they're with because he's not using the provider protector role. He's the nurturer. And now they're both unhappy. Guy feels like he can't make his woman happy. He can't. Your husband does feel like he can't make you happy. And you feel like you don't respect him because he's just doing whatever it is that you say to do, which sometimes isn't really what you want him to do.
Exactly. You need some balls there.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of guys, though, in the nurturing perspective, the way to get a guy back from that, though, is to introduce him back into his old passions. So if he had something that made him feel like a man that he did, like working out, some kind of physical labor is always awesome, martial arts, investing, business development, things like this that help men feel like they're providing and protecting. And if you take on a nurturing role, even though he's not really ready to provide and protect yet, it will automatically default back to how it used to be, and the relationship will clear up.
Dude, that is like gold information right there, right off the top of your head. I really like that. No pussyfooting around. This is how you do it. Introduce the guy back to his passions, the things that make him feel like a protector and provider, and then women take on the more nurturing role, because what you're saying is when a woman has lost respect for a man, the gender roles have flipped.
Yeah, typically, yes.
Typically,
unless it's some kind of issue where she feels unwanted and that's an insecurity of hers, but usually that's not the case. Usually the case is that the gender roles have flipped and no one notices it.
That is so, and it's so easy for women, especially if there's children and a career, to get into that, like, do mode and not settle into the nurturing aspect of it. Wow.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially if they're single moms. I mean, I've seen this over and over and over again with single moms. I've coached a lot, actually, of single moms, specifically because of this issue that it's knowledge. We just need to know more about why it is that this is screwing up. There's a system to interaction and psychology to interaction. It's not rocket science, but it's pretty scary, to think about this. But at the same time, you only want to know a minimal amount, to be honest, because then you go through life without seeing, instead of seeing movies, you see actors. Instead of seeing magic, you see an illusion. And that's not very fun sometimes.
Well, that's the thing that I think about sometimes when I hear all of this, like breaking it down and you can control the situation. And it's like, but what about romance and spontaneity and passion? So I'm definitely getting a schooling on what actually feeds and fuels passion and all those things. It's actually understanding the system of how people interact.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like I said, it's not for women typically. I would say as a man, I'll tell you how I feel. I feel like being able to produce this magic trick, of like a magic happiness or like a magic, positive relationship over and over again is where I have a lot of value. And women, if they want to know, I'll teach them. But the women that, like my girlfriend now, she only wants to know what she really needs to know because she wants it to be like magic every time. She wants it to be romantic. She doesn't want to know the system behind it all the time.
Exactly.
But, you do need to know a minimal amount. You do need to know exactly whatever plays into your gender role that you want to play. And like this day and age, you don't have to be a nurturer as a woman. You can be a provider protector. In fact, lesbians and gay men, the only difference between them at all is their gender role. And we always attract our opposing gender role. So whenever a woman is a provider protector because she has children, why do you think she attracts weak men over and over again? It doesn't make any sense, but it does. It seems counterproductive, because it is. Yeah, he has to be the nurturer in that situation, and he will be. And guys see, they come up, they see you, and women, you know, women of the world, you know, need to know that they are fooling everybody. Every single guy thinks that they want to be a provider protector when they act like one. The guys do not know. So, you know, you kind of, in public, I would say, you'd want to, or at least whenever you're around a man that you feel is worthy, you'd want to play the nurturing role. And then by default, he will, like, every guy has the ability to be a nurturer and a provider protector. So you have to just bring that ability out in him. Just like every woman has the ability to be a provider protector and a nurturer as well. So whenever I meet a woman, like, what the thing I teach my guys at the Art of Charm is to be able to bring out what it means to make a woman feel like a real woman, you know, like a really attractive, pure woman. And that usually is enough to make everyone happy. Well, you know, a lot of guys think that, like I said, it was this question of guys thinking that equality meant similarities, which isn't the case. So that automatically, a lot of guys are like, really? You know, they think that girls want to be, you know, these macho girls, you know, and that's not it. Girls want to be dainty. They want to be little, usually. They want to be protected and cared for, like physically cared for. You know, whenever they are walking down the street and they're feeling and they're being expressive emotionally, they want a guy to make sure they don't walk out in the middle of the street, you know? And like, these are like, so they want to be able to feel and openly empathize with you, you know, with us, rather. Women want to feel like they can empathize with us men and still feel like they are protected enough to walk around and function in society. So, you know, learning how to do that really is the major attractive quality of a man. And that's what, you know, to teach a guy how to do that is to educate him on how to do this magic trick over and over again, and how to, you know, how to act, essentially, instead of, you know, instead of when people see a movie, like I said, whenever I see a movie, but a really good actor sees actors. Now, forever, they're going to see actors in a movie. You know, that's just how it is. But I don't know anything about acting, so now movies are still really exciting to me. You know, I have to know about how to act as a man, and how to create this magic trick over and over again. And we have to teach these guys what it means to be able to control their own lives and the situation that they're in, so that they can allow this woman to come in and feel feminine.
It's so true. It's like you're giving them new eyes, really, because, yeah, it's like if you're an actor or anyone who does anything regarding film, you look at a film and you see something totally different because you know the inner workings of what's going on there, where everybody else is just kind of like, oh, cool, funny, great, you know? And mm-hmm. So it's the same with relationship dynamics. And what you're saying is, sounds like to me, men, do what inspires her feminine. Ladies, do what inspires the masculine, and really learn and understand what that is and become really effective at it. Like you said, if you're going to be in a relationship for the rest of your life, you might as well know how to be effective at it.
Yeah, definitely. It's a skill set just like anything else, you know. And I can definitely say, though, as a man that has studied and teaches professionally and essentially, you know, I'm held as being one of the best dating coaches in the world, and especially at reading body language and rapport. And I can tell you for sure that whenever I see somebody, I see the entire matrix now. I mean, I see everything happen. It isn't like I see an interaction and I feel in the interaction. I choose to feel now whenever I feel an interaction. Like with my girlfriend, I had to choose to go into rapport. And I was like, I know what's happening when it's happening. It's one of the, it's like a blessing and a curse. I mean, I can make it happen whenever I need to now. And I can, whenever I really need to create a bond with someone that I really love and I need them to know how I feel, I can do that now. And I have that power. But at the same time, it doesn't feel the same. And I don't want to subject a woman that I'm dating to lose that core ability to be a woman, that core empathizing ability, and that, you know, that just being expressive and feeling. And I know that you said that Jordan doesn't really like to talk about, like, you know,
you better stay away from him.
No, he's great. No, he's very grounded, though. I mean, he is what a man, he's essentially how a man thinks. You know, a man thinks exactly like, look, can I see it? Can I feel it? If not, where is it? You know, there's got to be sense for this. And I think that things are more complicated than people think they are. I think that, you know, whenever you have two different envelopes of nasty pictures or good pictures, is that what you're saying that it was, and they couldn't see them yet?
Right.
Does the person handing them the pictures know? Because that makes a big difference.
No, I don't think anybody knows. I don't know. Check out Power versus Force.
If it's a double blind test, you know, these are interesting.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've seen tests like this, and I've seen different results for them. But typically, I really think we underestimate our ability to read people. I mean, we see just tiny nuances. If you ever talk to someone and you're like, I don't know why, but I think this guy's lying to me right now.
Dude, I am right there with you. I tried to have this conversation with Jordan, but it was not happening. So I really feel like, yes, you and I are totally on the same page right now, because women are naturally tapped into their intuition. But having a guy, and my fiance is definitely, you know, a cookie cutter of you, size, height, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's not a big guy, but he is so tapped in. It's like he knows exactly what's going on in the situation, what's going to work, what to provide. And that kind of mastery, it's like then I get to relax, just like your girlfriend sounds like, too. It's like that's powerful when a man can really have a big enough heart to see the situation, see what's going on, and provide what's needed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like grace right there.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan definitely understands this. I mean, he's really amazing at this. He thinks what I think, too. I mean, I really think that there's something going on. I think that we're very, very intelligent animals. And I think that our recognition of body language and things like this, like you're saying, especially women who have a natural ability to do this because they really need to trust their emotions. So they tend to, you know, just kind of cultivate this ability when they're young. You know, a lot of guys tend to shy away from it, so then they don't trust their emotions as much. That's just how it is. Guys are afraid to express sometimes because that shows the weakness of their gender role. You know, if we feel and we're not in control of our emotions, then that shows that we can't really provide and protect. And so a lot of guys are afraid to open up and go in for poor because of that.
And again, isn't that just misinformation? Like, women don't necessarily – and then there's this whole thing about collapsing. Like, you know, you can't collapse as a guy. So then what's the line of collapsing and then actually just saying, well, I'm really hurt right now, and the difference is maintaining that eye contact?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's – you know, I think that the reason why guys look away, the reason why anyone looks away actually is because they don't want you to read them.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know a lot about body language, a whole lot about body language. And eye accessing cues, which is which direction you look to access different parts of your brain, is a really important part of that.
What is it, sensing cues?
It's called eye accessing cues. So you access different parts of your brain using cues, you know, like you cue different directions.
Uh-huh.
And you access those with your eyes. So you look in different directions, and it says how you're thinking. It doesn't say what you're thinking, but it'll say how you are.
Like left brain, right brain?
Yeah, it's part of it. Left brain, right brain does it, but also up and down does it as well. And then if you take that and add it to context, so if I ask you a question and then you access your brain for a certain part, like access a certain part of your brain during that moment, I can pretty much tell what you're thinking. It's easy to do. I've done it several times. This has really helped a lot of people read, you know, quote unquote, read minds.
Yeah.
It's like that's the whole mystical idea is that we tune into these little cues, instead of just feeling something, we ask, why do I feel this way? And, you know, like, for example, I can tell if someone's lying to me from a lot of different cues. Actually, women might want to know this. This is really important.
Tell us, and then we got to go.
Okay, sure. If you ask someone a question that they should know the answer to, so where were you last night is a common question. I mean, if I wouldn't ask it like that, obviously, because that's going to be an abrasive question and you're going to feel all sorts of defensiveness. But let's say that they weren't defensive in this case. So where were you last night? Now, typically, I should look, just glance up into my right just for a moment because I'm accessing my visual memory. If I'm a visual person, I'll access my visual memory. So the right-hand side is memory, and then up is visual. So I'm accessing this, and I'm telling you things that have happened throughout the night. Now, if I don't do that and I look down, that means I'm accessing my emotions. Now, that means that something emotional may have happened to me last night, or I may feel bad about what I'm about to tell you.
Mm.
So this is the beginning of an indicator. And then if I start to explain what happened and I look up and to the left, it's almost a direct indicator that I'm making this up on the spot. Left is your creative visual cue. So if you look to the left and up, it's visual creative brain. So, you know, if you have that, a lot of guys will look up and to the left, start to answer, or they'll say, you know, I did not do this yesterday. I did not go to the bar last night. And when they say not, they strategically blink every single time they say it. So if you keep asking them to say the question, every single time they will blink. That's the beginning of it. There's a lot more, too, to go to that. There's a whole lot of different cues that you can tell when someone's lying to you. But ultimately, you know, you got to ask yourself, why do you want to know so bad? You know,
why are you with someone who might be lying to you?
Exactly. So, you know, like I said, it's really interesting to know, and people really like to tune into that. But at the same time, it's good and bad. So
you better be careful. The government's going to come and snap you up.
I've already had a situation, actually, where I cold read a guy and told him that he worked for the FBI. And
wow.
He was really freaked out. He pulled out his badge. He had a gun.
Oh, my God.
He was at a party. He had no idea. No one knew he was an FBI agent at all at the entire party. And I go, hey, this is my friend. He works for the FBI. And I didn't know. And he goes, he's like, stop. He's like, whoa. And he looked at me and he reached to his back for a second. He's like, who are you? How did you know? What are you doing here? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, no. I look, man, you know, I'm just, this is what I do for a living. You know?
Holy wow. You are an expert.
Well, you know, you can always be better. So I didn't master it. I always grow, so.
Oh, man, Josh, you're amazing. I could talk to you all day, but unfortunately, we've got to get going here.
It's okay. Hey, you know.
Wow. Thank you so much. You really, I am just blown away by your level of understanding and comprehension and actually ability to give back information in a way that we can actually decipher.
It's like, it's like digesting and deciphering at the same time.
Exactly. See, you knew. I can see why your girlfriend loves you, man. It's, you're just easy. It's great.
Yeah, she's great. I mean, she's easy to love, too, so I'm happy with her.
Yummy, yummy. All right, well, listen, remind us again where we can find you and your fantastic posse of coaches.
Well, we are The Art of Charm. You can find us on theartofcharm.com. We have a lot. We're doing recently a lot of media appearances. We have the Today Show. We have now the Daily News did a piece on us, which they totally didn't understand, which is funny. but you can see all these clips. We had, you know, they made fun of us on Saturday Night Live, which I loved. A lot of articles about us. I am a host on Game on Maxim Radio, which is directed completely at guys. I mean, it's the Maxim brand as well. And then we have female programs as well. And for The Art of Charm, it's just a really, I mean, I surrounded myself with the most fantastic people I could possibly find. And we are all hyper intelligent in whatever kind of way we really need to be. So, you know, I am the expert on the curriculum and things that I do. Everyone in our company is an expert in something and has a lot to say, and it's hyper intelligent like that. So check us out. We're great people. We're like a superhero team.
You are superheroes. Thank you so much, Josh Pellissier from The Art of Charm, for being with us today and giving us your deep wisdom and insight.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and listeners, join us next week where on Just for Women, we're going to have someone other than people from The Art of Charm. It's been such a fun ride with you guys, and thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening. For texts and transcripts of this show and other shows on the Personal Life Media Network, please visit our website at personallifemedia.com. For a copy of my book, Elise's Four Cornerstones to Living Your Dreams, just visit sacredspa.org and click on the book cover icon. I'm your host, Elisa Kreitman, always expanding your choices here on Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex. Tune in next week for more juicy news you can use.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.